This is Carol Dyer interviewing Lorraine Rothman. Tape one.
Okay.
Okay, Lorraine, why don't you start and tell me about your, a little bit about your grandparents and your parents' background.
Okay, my grandparents and my parents were all came from the Ukrainian part of Russia. And my grandparents, my parents were late teenagers when they came over with my parents and all their sisters and brothers, and they came over about 1921. The Tsar was assassinated in 1918, and life for the Jewish settlements was just horrendous. People were getting killed in the middle of the night, homes were being burned to the ground, and my family at that time just decided to get out. And they went by way of Belgium, caught the boat in Belgium, and came across to Ellis Island in New York.
Was it hard for them to get out, like, at the time?
They knew what they had to do. Others had traveled before them. They had lots of information about how to do it. My grandmothers were very well-organized people. And my father's family, there were seven children who traveled out, six who were who were her children and one who was a niece. And on my mother's side of the family, there were three children. And there was a lot of information on how to do it by 1921. And from Ellis Island, they traveled overland to St. Louis and then off to San Francisco. The families didn't know each other at that time. And my mother and father met in San Francisco as very late teenagers and then married in the San Francisco area.
They all immigrated in the same year?
They all immigrated in the same year. Yeah, they may have been on the same boat, yeah, for all we know, but they never knew each other.
So. What did your father do for a living?
My father did a wide variety of things. The stories that I've heard was, these were the biggies that I remember. During the early Depression, he delivered pies, wholesale pies to restaurants and bakeries. So he drove a truck at night. He also repaired slot machines. And that was, from what I heard about it, it was kind of like, well, maybe he was mafia involved. And he didn't work there very long because he was scared to death of what was going on. I remember that, too. And then at one point, he apprenticed himself to an upholsterer and learned the upholstering trade. And by the time I was a young child in San Francisco, he had his own upholstering shop in downtown San Francisco in the furniture community, where it was just a one-man shop with a part-time helper, and then my mother would go down and help quite a bit in the sewing.
So when she helped, did she consider it a job?
My mother and my father never considered the work that my mother did in his shop as her work. It was always a matter of her going down to help him, and when he had a lot of work to do. And her job was in the home, taking care of kids and cooking and cleaning. Although she spent long hours in the shop, she would take the streetcar in the morning after he had left with his truck and spend all day and get back by streetcar to prepare supper for the rest of us and by the time he came home.
Tell me about when you were born and how many children are in the family and what, like, your home life
was. Okay, I was born in San Francisco. I was born in 1932 at the height of the Depression. I was a middle child. My sister was born almost 5 years before me. My brother was born almost 5 years after me. And I was born in Children's Hospital in San Francisco. And being in the middle with a sister who was as much as almost 5 years older than me put me in a unique position because I wound up with two mothers. She was the one who was always to look out after us. And my brother, who was about 10 years younger, it worked out fine for her. But for me, it's really interesting how she developed a very close relationship with my mother. And my brother was kind of pulled in on it, too. And here I was, this middle child who, instead of having a sister for a friend, I had a second mother, which just irritated the heck out of me. So our whole childhood was never a very pleasant one. We never got along.
Was it pleasant for your brother and sister more than for you? Or
it was, yeah, it was much better for them. I grew up in a very traditional Jewish family, and my brother was the one to carry on the name. And so he was indulged tremendously by my mother. And because my mother and my sister were very close, my sister kept a very sharp eye out for him. And it seems like he was never a playmate for me, because he was watched so carefully that any time he would even cry at the least little thing, I generally was blamed. My father was a very strong patriarch in the family. He was also a bully. He had really high expectations for everybody, and made life miserable for my mother, for my sisters, for my sister and my brother, and for me. And he talked practically zilch. Neither one of my parents had any formal education, either in Ukrainian Russia or in the United States. And they came over knowing Russian, Yiddish, and then learned English in the United States. My sister and I both started school without knowing English, or I knew very, very little. My sister didn't know any. And we grew up in an environment of old world tradition controlled by this bully of a patriarchal man who followed Jewish tradition and had no concept at all of what it really meant. So that even though I went to Hebrew school after regular school every day for 5 days a week with my sister and my brother, by the time I was 12, I left. It just was too much. It's just very, very...
Why don't you talk about that? Why did you leave Hebrew school?
Okay. We lived in a community in San Francisco that was primarily... all of our friends were Jewish. All the families were Jewish. And we knew the children that we played with were children of the people that, of the families that my folks were close with. And they all, again, came over from Russia. And the cousins that I grew up with, it was a very large number of them. There were 15 of us. And I had a boy cousin who was very close in age to me. And he and I just literally grew up together. But there was such a wide difference between the way he was treated and the way that I was treated, that as we got older, it became more and more painful for me. We all went to Hebrew school immediately after public school. We started like at 3:30, quarter to 4. We took a streetcar to the school and got home after 6 o'clock at night. And we learned from religion a lot of how to read Hebrew and how to translate it, how to talk a little bit of it, and a lot of tradition and culture. All boys and girls, what I was talking about.
We were talking about Hebrew school and why you quit going.
Okay, well, boys and girls were in the classes together, and everybody learned together. And by the time I was 12, I was very good. I could write Hebrew very well. I could translate it. I spoke a little bit of it. And, however, that 12th year, that class changed dramatically. The boys were pulled out and were prepared for Bar Mitzvah, and which is a major deal. It's just recognition into the community. And the girls, nothing. Just nothing. Today they have Boston, which in my opinion is nothing more than a cover-up for the patriarchal religious act. I mean, it's to appease women, and it doesn't mean a damn thing. We don't have any more power or any more control over the culture.
So it's like a ceremony as opposed to, what does the boys mean?
The boys, they are inducted into the male bastion of control in the Jewish community that's centered around the temple. But it's also social. Mm-hmm. And it's part, of course, of boys becoming men and becoming part of the patriarch. And the ceremony for the girls is a big joke. I mean, there's no power that you gain. You don't do anything. I mean, you get nothing.
Did you have one?
No. There wasn't any at that time. And it was full realization for me to realize that I had no worth. Mm-hmm. And so I quit.
And did things change within the temple, like when you went to the services?
I stopped going.
Okay.
I just refused to go. My parents were very upset. My family was very upset. But I just refused to go. I think I went back either a total of 2 times or 3 times. One time, I went back for my brother's bar mitzvah, which I had no choice. I wouldn't have gone if I had a choice. The second time I went back, which was during early college years, because it was a great place to meet guys. And these were single times. I didn't go back regularly. And the third time I went back was, again, it was forced upon me. It's when I got married. My mother had the wedding, and she was the one who decided that no child of hers would marry unless they married in the temple. So that was the last time, and I've not been back.
Okay, why don't we go back and talk about how things were in your household, what your activities were as a young child, and your relationship with your mom and your dad.
Okay.
What did you do in the house?
Our house had quite strict divisions by gender, and it was a poor house because my sister was born in 27, I was born in 32, my brother was born in 36, we were Depression babies, and my father worked 6 and 7 days a week, and my mother also worked, although it wasn't recognized, worked out of the home, although it wasn't recognized. There wasn't much money to go around. And my mother kept a very tight budget on the food that she bought and all. As far as responsibilities in the within the house, my mother did all the cooking. My sister and I set the table. My sister and I were responsible for cleaning up after the meals and washing the dishes and drying, putting them away and scrubbing the pots and putting them away and sweeping the kitchen floor, washing the kitchen floor at the end of the day. My brother would leave the table and walk away. My father would leave the table and walk away. When my mother served meals, we all sat down together. My father always put a jacket on, and he was the first one to be served, always. My brother was the second one to be served, and then whatever was left, we got. And it was just, you know, painfully clear how there was a distinction between the men in the family and the women in the family. We sat at the table and rarely talked. I think as my brother got older, my mother spent a lot of time, and my mother and my sister spent a lot of time talking around my brother, what was he doing, and just praising him all over the place. It may be that I'm looking at it from a rather biased perspective because I was so close to him. I was the next one close to him in age. And so, but still, it's the impression that children do get. And as a young child, I remember how limited, for example, my clothing was. And I remember up until middle teenage, the family did not have money to make sure I had shoes to wear. So I remember always stuffing. I remember frequently stuffing newspaper or cardboard in my shoes to cover over the holes at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And which, looking back on it, it's terrible. But at that time, the annoyance was that it would bother my feet. My toes were bothered. But otherwise, you know, you just got on with life. When I, shortly after I was 12, I was about 12 and a half, my father decided we should move down to Los Angeles. The weather was better, and there was more opportunities down here. And this was right before the end of the Second World War. And so we moved out to Los Angeles. And he opened up an upholstering shop in Los Angeles as well. When I was a child in San Francisco, I used to help my father in the upholstering shop. On holidays and on Saturdays, I used to go with him into the shop. And I think most of it just was his doing child care, watching out after me. I have no idea what might happen to my brother or what my sister did. All I remember was I used to be in the shop with him by myself. I know that he was very much a bully and terrorized my brother. My brother and my father never got along. My brother never wanted to be around my father. And my sister also didn't like being around him. And
so what would you do when you were in the shop? How did you relate with him?
You know, and I think it was, I think it came about because I wasn't comfortable with my mother and my sister and my brother, and so I just would naturally gravitate to him. And as long as I didn't talk or, you know, didn't do anything like that that would annoy him, he tolerated me in the beginning, and then I began to work out. We got some kind of a ongoing working relationship. In the shop itself, he taught me to do various kinds of things, like one of the things I remember so well, which is not something that children necessarily learn. It's quite a hard job, where he taught me how to build the inner springs that you build cushions up on the real expensive furniture, where you set coils of, you set springs, 6-inch and 8-inch springs, or 6-inch, I guess, 4-inch and 6-inch springs in a wooden frame, and then take a wire that's looks like spring wire, and you just turn it and twist it and attach them all, and then use heavy cutters and cut the ends.
Did it take a lot of physical strength?
Took a great deal of physical strength. I also used to deliver furniture with my father on Sundays. Sundays were the day that he delivered furniture to people's homes. And since we lived in San Francisco, many people lived upstairs. And one of the things I developed was a pretty strong upper body, because I used to help move the furniture up and down the stairs. And in the beginning, I would be carrying the cushions, and then after a while, I was actually holding one end of the sofa going upstairs. So it's amazing how it helped me develop a very strong upper body, which I didn't realize until later. Much later than how strong I was. And
do you know any other skills that you remember and have? Do you use them now, skills?
Yes. he had me do all kinds of things, all kinds of hands-on things. Strip furniture and stain wood and sand wood down and occasionally dealt with customers, but mostly it was just hands-on skill that I think was most valuable. That, looking back today, it's usually boys who do this with their fathers, not girls. And if anyone over the years has been the handy person around the house, it's been me. Over the years, it just was quite natural for me to just make repairs, and it's me and this family who has the tool room.
Mm-hmm.
Although when my boys were growing up, I have 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. When my boys were growing up, they began to gravitate to my tools. Although the girls, you know, also do use them. It's interesting how I picked up the skills.
So you helped your dad on holidays and weekends, and you went to Hebrew school every day after school.
Right.
What other kinds of activities did you do during the playing?
Yeah. Because I had a cousin who was very close to me in age, during the years that we lived in San Francisco, I just grew up with him. We did everything together. We used to go to the Golden Gate Park and play together. I went to his home and stayed overnight. And the activities that we did were frequently activities that he preferred doing. I wound up preferring them too, but they were instigated by him. Bicycle riding, throwing baseballs to one another, basketball, running, skates, the physical activities that boys in our society are encouraged to do. I was given a doll when I was young by my family, by my mother, I think. I must have been about 6 or 7. And I played with it for a while, but it didn't do anything. And I remember having it out in the backyard, and I remember my brother taking it and putting it at the corner of the backyard up against the fence, and he had to throw rocks at it, and he totally destroyed it. And which did not endear me to my brother, but on the other hand, I didn't care either. I remember I didn't care. I mean, yeah, he destroyed my toy, of which I had very, very few, if any. And yet, I didn't care because I didn't know anything with it anyway. So, so much of what I did involved the activities with my male cousin that, it revolved around a lot of outdoor
activities. Did you play any board games?
No, no board games. Our family... It wasn't until much later, when I was a teenager, that my family got into, my parents and their friends got into playing more card games and games like, there was a board game that they played, but that wasn't until much later. When I was younger, we didn't even have a newspaper in the house because my parents didn't read. So there weren't any games. And we never sat down to play with one another. And I didn't play with other kids. I didn't play board games or cards with other kids.
What about your actual school when you were younger, your elementary years? How did you feel about school? Did you have any favorite activities?
School was about 6 blocks away, and I used to walk to and from. Because I was asthmatic, long history of asthma, I was allowed to wear... pants to school because San Francisco is cold. At least where we lived, it was always foggy. We lived on the west side. It was very close to the beach. And I probably was the only girl in the school who was able to wear slacks, and which everybody tolerated. And I loved it. I was really glad. School was great. School was fine. I didn't have any problems. I enjoyed a lot of the classes. When I was in the third grade, my cousin, the same cousin that I grew up with, or used to play with and grew up with as a younger child, was in the same class as me. And I enjoyed that class tremendously because of him, until the teacher discovered that we were cousins and pulled him out and put him to another class, which I think is cruel. Really cruel. It didn't interfere with either one of our activities or our learning or anything.
So, you pulled them out before the year was even over.
Yes, immediately.
And what was the rest of the year like for you?
I was not happy. Because it was not that I missed my cousins, as I saw him otherwise. But it was just like, it was really a disrespectful thing to do to anyone, child or otherwise, without any real good reason.
Did you have favorite subjects, or was it kind of all the same?
It was kind of all the same, yeah. I wasn't good in English, quite naturally. I had a very difficult time with English. And it wasn't until I got into junior high school that I was able to straighten that out. Someone had advised me to take Latin. My grades in English were terrible. I had an extremely difficult time spelling. I didn't pronounce words correctly. And, I took 2 years of Latin, and my English grades immediately jumped to A's.
You took the Latin in junior high?
Junior high and high.
What happened? Junior high was in Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, yeah.
So tell me about junior high. Was that different than elementary school?
Junior high school was very different than elementary school. It was a break. It was a dramatic break for me because I left my friends in San Francisco, moved to Los Angeles, and I had to pick up new friends at junior high school. The junior high school that I went to was John Burroughs Junior High, which at that time catered to middle class, upper class families, especially a lot of movie stars kids, and some movie stars. some teenage movie stars, and there was a lot of wealth in the school. And my family still was struggling, and I think I had one skirt and two blouses. And by then also, I was taking classes to learn how to sew, and I began to make my own skirts. So it was, I mean, I was really a fish out of water because of such a class difference. And also, I was still helping my father in the store, although by the time I sexually matured, he began to literally push me away. He didn't want me to come to the store anymore, and he didn't want me to help hold his tools when he was repairing the cars anymore, or anything like that. It was just a real break in our relationship. And
was that a gradual thing, or was there?
It was dramatic. It was dramatic.
And what was there something that instigated it?
The only way that I could identify it was that I just filled out. I just looked through my eyes. I mean, I was a young teenage, young woman.
How was sexuality approached in your house?
It wasn't. It wasn't. Never discussed. My mother gave my sister a little pamphlet that was made by the I think the Modest company or Kotex company on Now That You Are a Woman or something like that, and instructed my sister to give it to me and to talk to me about it. And since my relationship with my sister wasn't very good at all, and she gives me this little booklet now and proceeds to lecture me on how important it is now that I read the booklet and now I'm a woman, and this is when my period started.
How old?
I was 12, 11 and a half, 12, something like that. Yeah, right before we moved to Los Angeles. And here I have to sit and listen to my older sister lecture me on something like this that I didn't want to listen to.
What did it mean to you when you heard it? Like,
I didn't believe it. I mean, she gave me the booklet right before I got my period. I must have gotten the booklet when I was 11.
What
sort of things were in it? It was a discussion of how once a month I would be bleeding, and I'm sure it went into a lot more detail. But as I can recall it now, it was just, I just couldn't believe any of it, and that now is the time when I could get pregnant because I'm producing eggs, and men make sperm. And it was on that level. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe any of it. And although it did pique my curiosity. And I learned about sexuality by picking up home medical books or home health care books. I was also doing a lot of babysitting in order to make money to buy clothes or whatever I needed, and it was babysitting in a lot of these people's homes where there were books, and especially these home medical aids, where the first place I would go to would be, you know, reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked up the basic information there, and when my period started, I mean, I never associated it to the booklet my sister gave me. I thought something happened to me. I thought I'd hurt myself.
You remember where you were?
I was at home. It was in the late afternoon. I was outside playing. I came in the house. My pants felt wet in a different way, cold wet. And I went to the bathroom and I came out, and I was scared to death. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I thought I'd hurt myself. And I told my mother, and her immediate response was a slap, which is the Jewish tradition, at least the way my mother observed it, which was another shock to me. And then she proceeded to take me into the bathroom with very few words and hand me a box of Kotex pads and Modest pads, and showed me how to put the belt on, showed me how to attach it, and then gave me a paper bag and told me that's where I should put the ones that had the blood in it, the soiled ones, and that I should hide it in the cupboard, no one should see it, and when I was all finished, then I should throw it away. And it was one of shame. No one should know.
And so, when this happened every month, what were you feeling about after that?
It did not please me. First of all, it knocked me out for 2 or 3 days. Not physically so much as I had these things that I had to do to take care of myself, and it was to be kept private, and nobody was supposed to know about it. And I had to spend a lot of effort to...